From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Every year, nearly 3,000 children here in Idaho find themselves in and out of out-of-home placements. That's according to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Now, for those who end up in foster care, it's important that they have an adult who can advocate for them. And that's where the CASA program comes in. Through CASA, children are appointed a guardian who will then help promote their best interest. They follow their case from start to finish. However, in Ada County, as well as several other areas, there is a shortage of volunteers. So joining us today to talk more about this need and the court-appointed special advocates program, known as CASA, is the Executive Director of Family Advocates, Catherine Siebold. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Catherine, can we start by you just telling us a little bit more about the CASA program and how it works?
Absolutely. So basically, it's a court-appointed special advocate. All of our CASAs, or otherwise we call them guardians, are volunteers. And it's from all different walks of life. And people come in and volunteer with us. They go through 30 hours worth of training in order to really be the eyes and ears of the court on behalf of a foster child. So they're assigned to a case. And then they're on that case for maybe 1 to 2 years, depending on what's going on that particular case. And they're there to make sure that the child is safe in their placement. That placement could be a foster home, or that placement could be a group home. And this is one person in their life that is there more than to be a mentor, but really to advocate to the courts on this child's behalf about the things that they need.
And I have to say, Catherine, I think that that statistic is pretty shocking. I mean, 3,000 children who are placed in some type of out-of-home placement every year here in Idaho. So who are these kiddos who end up in the foster care system every year?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very sad, actually. We, in the CASA program, out of those 3,000 children, we're serving about just over 550 of those children last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be any child. It could be a child in your own neighborhood. Their parents might be struggling. The stresses of life sometimes are then taken out on children. And we as adults sometimes are going through things, and the child becomes a victim in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. It could be a victim of abuse. They could be a victim of neglect. Maybe a parent has become incarcerated. They could have gotten a DUI. They could have gotten involved in drugs. And so the children are taken out of the home because the home is deemed unsafe for them. And then they are placed into a foster situation, into the foster system. And hopefully they go into a foster home, and they are there until either their parents are rehabilitated, have completed an incarceration time frame, or things are back on track and a judge says that, you know, they have followed up on the things that the judge has outlined for them to make a better home environment.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that these children are going through, you know, all kinds of trauma. How does CASA then, you know, help them in that regard? I mean, I understand that they help with the legal process, which is so important, but how do they then advocate to make sure that these kids are getting the help that they need when it comes to these childhood traumas?
Yeah. So yes, they're dealing with all sorts of different traumas, depending on what was going on in their family situation. Mm-hmm. And the advocate is there to talk to the court to ask for permission for certain things. So that could be that they're noticing that the child needs therapy. It could be that the child is experiencing some medical issues due to what had happened in the home. And so the advocate is there kind of monitoring what's going on in the child's health, whether that's physical health, emotional health, and advocating to the judge, to the system, that we need to find those resources for them. And then oftentimes the advocate is the one to go find that resource that best suits the child, because they know the child the best. And so that's really important. That's why it's this one-on-one relationship with the advocate and the child, because they're getting to know that child so well and developing that trust. And the child oftentimes may be the one to say, I'm not doing well in school, or I'm uncomfortable in my current living situation. And then the guardian is the one that acts upon those cues from that child.
So I know that we are experiencing a shortage in volunteers and attorneys, and you know, our population continues to grow. As we know, more children have been, you know, put in foster care when the pandemic hit. So right now, I mean, how many volunteers do you think that you need?
Well, we need about 75 more volunteers. Wow. It's unfortunate, but we're in a situation when, as children usually go back into the school system, teachers might be noticing that things aren't right with a child, that they're struggling. And so many children have gone into the foster care system recently. And so the numbers are increasing. And we're looking at about 75 more volunteers needed so that we can help every child that is assigned to us.
So let's talk the nitty gritty then of what a volunteer does. I know you said they have to go through a 30-hour training. But as I mentioned, I mean, this is volunteers. So what Yes. are the primary responsibilities and maybe even time commitment? Because I know, you know, that's always a big thing, I think, for a lot of folks is like, okay, can I, even if I want to do this, can I do this effectively?
Yes. So we ask that volunteers are 21 years of age or older, that they go through a background check, a criminal background check, and then they go through 30 hours of training. And that training mm-hmm. equips them to be able to understand the trauma that a child has been exposed to, and then also understand the legal system. They are then paired with a pro bono attorney so that they're not the only one going through this legal system. So that's the first commitment. And then the next one after they're assigned to a child, they see the child a minimum once every 30 days. And these are could be scheduled visits to the home or unscheduled visits to the home. And then they write a court report that is then given to the judge in the county that the child resides. And so I would say about a minimum during the month, probably 2 to 3 hours once the training has been completed. Mm.
Do you, as a CASA volunteer, get just one child in one case at a time?
Yes, that's what we prefer, unless okay. it's a sibling set. Sometimes there are, you know, we don't break up sibling sets. So one volunteer may take up to, you know, let's say 3 to 5 children, depending who, you know, how many are in that family. But typically it's a one-on-one relationship. So one child mm-hmm. to one guardian.
And, you know, it sounds to me that the CASA volunteers can make a tremendous difference in the life of a child or siblings if they're together. You know, so with that said, you know, I would think it would be difficult to maybe not get emotionally attached to this child. And does that then potentially skew maybe how you report to the courts, or is it okay to kind of have an emotional connection? I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. There's always going to be an emotional connection. There's no way to bring a child, you know, into your life and look after their well-being without there being that component of emotion and attachment that comes with that. But we try to train during that 30 hours of training is what is that line that you cannot cross, right? What is that line? You're there to emotionally support the child as well, obviously, but you have to realize that this will come to an end, that your volunteer, you know, commitment with this particular child will come to an end, and that they will be placed either back home or perhaps adopted. And so that is, you know, it takes a special person to become a guardian and to understand those, you know, somewhat challenging limitations that are placed upon you. But it is also, it's a job. Though you're volunteering, you're doing something so significant in that child's life that you need to be unbiased. You need to make sure that you're really just looking out for their safety and not becoming overly emotional because you really have to be that person that can step back and have that unbiased view of what's going on in their life.
So if someone is interested in going through the CASA program, getting the training, going through the background check and all of that, where do they go to start this process? Because as you mentioned, you need 75 CASA volunteers just to kind of maintain the status quo right now.
Right. So what we would ask is that you go online, visit our website at www.familyadvocates.org. And there's information on how to become a volunteer. One of the first things we ask is that you attend a volunteer information hour. Those are given twice a month, once during a lunch hour and then once at 5 o'clock, so that we can accommodate everyone's schedules. And you sign up for that volunteer information hour and you learn more about what it is to become a guardian and make sure that it's the right fit for you.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us about this and letting us know about the need as well.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate it. And just want to say that it just takes one person to really change a child's life for the better. And it is a very fulfilling volunteer commitment. And we certainly appreciate our community and everybody that has come out to help a child. So thank you very much for helping us find those people.
Well, we've been talking with Catherine Siebold, Executive Director of Family Advocates, about the CASA program. I'm Gemma Gaudette, and this is Idaho Matters.